Podtacular, episode 402, Master Shark, for December 12th, 2013.
Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm. And today we are Brentless. He had some stuff come up last minute, so he's not going to be able to make it today. But I have two aspiring guest hosts here with me today to kind of help fill the spot and hopefully bring out some good discussion for Halo for you tonight. And, of course, that means we're not doing our Primordium podcast either. That person had to bail on me today as well. So we're going to try to reschedule that for next week. But with no further ado, first off, we have is someone who's kind of been on before in a way. He was actually with me at RTX to help do my podcast panel, and that is Roadblock. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the actual podcast.
Hooray! I've made it.
Yes, you have. Along with your partner in crime, or your podcast partner, however you want to refer to him as, Jack Edithal.
Wow, I'm Robin now. That's pretty cool.
Finally, the tables have turned.
I didn't even know there was a table.
That's why you never win.
So these two gentlemen are from a lovely podcast called Glipshark. And that's part of the Rooster Teeth community over there. And we're big fans of Rooster Teeth and good friends with quite a few of them over there. So figured it would be about time to have them on the show since they did help me out with my podcasting panel at RTX and everything. So it was a fun panel to do. Again, I had a lot of fun. I think, Roadblock, you had a lot of fun as well.
It was one of the highlights of RTX, definitely. Like, we had done a Glipshark panel earlier in the week and to kind of begin RTX. And then the Art of the Podcasting panel there was the end of RTX, and that really was a lot of fun. And I, listening to the show again, I'm really glad you kept our little herd of cats in line, because like every time you would kind of, I could tell every time you kind of let up, like me and Goose Cheka would just start like going back and forth, be like, okay, no, stop. And then Lindsay might join in, and it was like, no, okay, we gotta do this. You kept having to right the ship, and I found myself like just smiling the entire time. I'm like, man, this was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of key pointers for next time, and I'm actually planning on submitting the panel for PAX East. So if you guys are going, I'm probably going to hit you up again as panelists, and I have a couple other people in mind as well, because I'm not sure if Lindsay is going. I'm pretty sure Goose is going. As a fact, I know she's going.
I was about to say, yeah, that's like right in her backyard just about.
Pretty much.
And such.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did just move and everything, so I don't know if with the move they're really looking to spend that much money again to go somewhere.
Oh, where'd they move to? I didn't hear about that.
I mean, they didn't move far away. They just moved out of their little DC place into somewhere that's a little bit outside.
Oh, same area. Okay.
Yeah, same area. They didn't really move that far away. So, yeah, they're still around. Actually, I haven't seen them since they moved to their new place. And I live probably about 20, 30 minutes away from them. So I'll probably go visit them here soon. But yeah, that panel was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Really interesting in terms of making sure we stayed on track. And I kind of feel bad for Lindsay still, because a lot of the stuff that she wanted to talk about was a lot of the hardware and the technical side of things. And we really had to scrunch that out because of how much time we spent at the beginning of the presentation.
But right.
I'm definitely, if we're able to have her back on for the PAX East one, if that one gets approved, then definitely focus a little more attention on the back end and make sure we have a little bit better time frame for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I'm going to be there, at least as far as I know. And actually, Jack and I are rooming together, so I hope to God you're there too.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I would not miss it for all the tea in China.
And we actually got a decent room. I'm shocked.
Oh, good.
We're going to be paying for it, but
through the nose and ear. Oh, God. Through the ear, like, nose, and throat.
The problem is, it's like when we bought our PAX East passes, it's like, and I knew this going in. I'm like, I know the hotel is going to be harder to get than the pass. And sure enough, like, the hotel site just crashed. Like, and I think it crashed for like 2 days. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just, I'm going to get this. It's a sure thing. I'll keep pulling back, seeing if a room opens up in the group block, but it probably won't. And we'll just go from there. So, but getting past this, relatively easy. I mean, as long as you kind of acted on it in short order.
Suffice it to say, I'm
happy. The passes were a lot easier for PAX East than they were for Prime.
Oh, God. That was brutal. That was the first time I'd ever gotten day passes, or per day passes for a PAX.
Yeah, same for me.
Yeah, just didn't have a choice.
Oh, man. Suffice it to say, I am happy that my new credit card arrived in the mail because I'll be putting it to good use that weekend.
Yeah, that's coming up 4 months, which is going to be pretty cool.
Go ahead, PAX. Take all my monies.
I'm wondering if there's going to be any Halo stuff there since Halo Xbox One supposedly coming out next year.
You know,
supposedly. I'm not sure yet.
Historically,
still.
You haven't seen a lot of brand new stuff at PAX East. I think usually Prime is when they debut their stuff, and then East is just sort of like the East Coast, hey, you guys get to play too kind of thing.
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll probably see a lot of stuff more at E3 than we will at PAX.
And that's the other thing that kind of is going against PAX East as far as like announcements and stuff. It bumps up so much to E3 and CES that it really – it's kind of a weird place time-wise. And a lot of companies are like, well, we could announce this at PAX or we could just wait till E3 when there's a ton more people, which is – ludicrous considering how many people are at PAX East. I don't know. I'm really hoping that maybe this year we see a turn. And I mean, Microsoft is going to be there anyway. I mean, it's like they don't have a whole lot to lose to just like maybe show what they have or put on a panel. I know there was a Halo 4 panel a couple of years ago, and it was a good year or so, I think, before the game came out. And they really didn't have a whole lot to say, but it and quite frankly, I was pretty disappointed in it because they didn't have a whole lot to say, but they made the effort to go. And it seems like they could at least put something like that together, like call it a panel, but it's really more of a, hey, here's some pre-production art and we'll try to answer as many questions as possible. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of effort in order to put something like that on.
Right.
Especially at a convention where you're already going to be.
That's true. Yeah. But I have a feeling that this one's probably going to be... I guess my first one was kind of my big one because it was... I got invited to a few parties and there was a big Halo kind of gathering of people. And it was actually the weekend right before I started my current job. And I've told this story a few times on this show, but I don't know if you guys know it. But literally... the Sunday before, or the last Sunday of PAX, I was there till 10:30 hanging out with Halo friends there and people from 343 Industries and all those other kinds of people. And so I was there till 10:30, got in my car, drove all the way back to Greenbelt, and I got in at 5 o'clock. I had to wake up at 7:30 to go into work for my first day of work.
Very nice. Very nice. So I'm guessing that was the Sunday to Monday transition then?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Needless to say, I don't have to do that next year. And I didn't have to do it this year either, but last year it was pretty hectic.
Yeah, East is one of those where if I do end up going, it's not one of the ones that I stay until Monday. I generally, when I go to East, I have to leave on Sunday. And that's especially next year when I'm trying to ration my vacation days a little bit. I don't think RTX is going to be as much of a production as it was this year. This year, RTX was awesome because you had that July 4th was that Thursday. So if you took just Friday and like Monday off, you got like an insane like almost 6-day weekend or whatever. And right. That was incredible. That was one of the longest stretches I'd been away from home. Like, and so my wife was like, oh God, this is awful. You're going to be away for so long. And I'm like, yes, it's going to be terrible. Oh God.
I'm going to be with a bunch of my friendly nerds.
and then for PAX Prime, I think I was there even longer. And, because I was staying with our friend, Obo Crazy, I didn't have to pay for a hotel. So I was there longer and I stayed later. And And that was a lot of fun. That was really interesting. Just kind of getting there way before everything started, kind of hanging around the convention center, running into friends that would get swamped during the convention, and getting to see them beforehand. You know, they're still kind of in convention mode, but they've got like an hour or two to hang out with you. So with I wouldn't have given, you know, anything for that. That was great.
Yeah, PAX Prime, I was there for a week, a little more than a week, actually. So it was...
Yeah, yeah.
This year was just ridiculous for what I ended up doing. It was a lot of fun, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I actually, this was the first time, I think, in ever that I missed a Rooster Teeth panel at a PAX. I was really... I basically, what happened was I got conned by a friend to go watch League of Legends because they had the big ride area upstairs. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll watch League of Legends live. I usually like to play, but, you know, that's a lot more fun than watching people play. And as soon as I got in there and got in with the crowd and the excitement, I was hooked. Like, it was some of the most fun I've ever had at PAX. I mean, it helped that I was with a couple of friends, but seeing esports in that kind of environment with the crowd cheering when like these certain things would happen and there were chants and stuff, and that I ended up spending a lot more time up there than I thought I would. And we ended up watching the championships as well, or the I can't remember what they were called, but it doesn't matter. The finals games.
LCS or something.
Yeah, the LCS I think it was the North America qualifier or something, or the North. It was the North American Championships. That's right.
Right, right. So, moral of the story for everyone listening is: if you have the chance to go to one of these conventions, like RTX or PAX, PAX Prime is kind of the big one, at least like for us, because it's Halo Central, Microsoft, 343, Bungie, all that stuff. So that's kind of the big one to go to. RTX would kind of be a second in my book. San Diego Comic-Con would probably be third. And if you're industry, of course, E3 is probably a big one for you. But that's more kind of gaming overall and hardware and everything else. But yeah, so moving on to some of the Halo news for this week. We have the bulletin that came out yesterday. And we got some updates for what's going to be coming down the pipe with matchmaking coming pretty soon. We have the 343 day, which actually took place on Monday, which was December 9th, and Britt and I actually got to participate in that. We got to play Ricochet on Pitfall with some of the 343 staff that was there, and we had a lot of fun. Britt was on one team, and I was on the other, and my team won. Oot! So that was a lot of fun. So got to... it was actually a pretty close game as far as the games I've played with Ricochet, and a lot of the matchmaking games, they're usually not pretty close. It's at least from the ones I played, it's usually one team is significantly better than the other. But for this one, it was pretty evenly matched. And for a while, Brent's team was winning 70-50. And within, like, I think the last 3 or 4 minutes, I made a throw and then someone else ran it in and we ended up winning. So it was a really close game. The guys that we played with were really fun to play with, and they actually both sent us GG messages afterwards, so that was pretty cool. But they did announce on the stream as well some matchmaking updates coming down the line. Of course, this week is premiering the race playlist, which is has an all new race game type, which is official. This isn't the modded one that people have come out with and made maps with, which is, I mean, I'm not really opposed to mod game types like that where people can still have fun. I mean, I don't know what your guys' opinion is about modded content like that, but as long as people are having fun and it's not really taking advantage of anything, I don't really see a problem with it.
Yeah, I like my experience with a lot of the mods was, especially in some of the early days when you first kind of had Forge, and then when Forge kind of first comes out in a Halo title, you get a lot of mods that are kind of jankety. It's like, okay, we're going to play this game, but you can't do this, 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 or this. And it's like, okay, all right. Because they haven't figured out how to make certain processes or weapon drops or whatever, you know, automatic in that particular mode. But it's fine, especially if you're rolling with a bunch of friends. And what's really awesome is like when you'll hop into someone's mod and they're like, okay, this is how it's supposed to work. All right, go. None of us have any weapons. Crap. All right, everyone get out. I got to fix this real quick, and then we'll go back in. All right.
Oh, man, I just had, like, a flashback.
Do tell.
I've had this conversation at least four or five times in the early days of Forge, man. It's just like, all right, just it took a great deal of patience, and it definitely helped if you were playing with friends.
Yeah, and had people that weren't really bugging you or just making a mess of things either.
Yeah,
tends to help.
I had friends that were like that too, so I got a whole gamut of early Forge experiences back in the primordial days.
Fair enough, but an odd thing about the race game type though is the official one actually shows up under Capture the Flag.
Huh? So it's not like a
Not like a separate game type like Ricochet was,
right?
Huh. And the modded version is actually shows up under a different list called Community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird how the Halo 4 system was made, because it almost looks like it's extensible to the way where 343 was anticipating the community going out and making mods, because all the mods that I've seen that don't really fit under a certain category fall under this community category, and the modded race game type falls under that. So it's pretty interesting that of all things, race would show up under a Capture the Flag variant, the official one at least. But despite that, you can still go into matchmaking, grab the game type, and if you're a forger, go and make forge maps with it. I know there's a lot of racetrack maps out there from a lot of different communities, so I know Halo Diehards has some, Halo Customs have some, probably Forge Hub and the Halo Forge Epidemic probably have some racetracks. I know Duquesne 23 from Ready Up Live, he has some racetracks that he works on as well. He's a big racer in the Halo community. So there's definitely maps out there, and I have a feeling a lot of these forgers are going to go in and finally make the maps compatible with the official race game type. So we'll probably see a lot of racing maps come out here pretty soon. But after the race playlist, we're actually going to have Rocket Race. So I know a lot of people...
Yay, Rocket Race!
That I've actually been playing with recently in the race playlist have kind of talked about the Rocket Race playlist from Halo Reach. So people are definitely looking forward to Rocket Race when it comes out in 2 weeks. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, like some of my... I remember when Rocket Race first came out and it was on the Mongoose, and that was tons and tons of fun. And then I was like, man, this would be a lot more fun with a Warthog. And then when the Warthog one came out, I was like, ee-hee. I remember one of our friends, Finch Lynch, and was someone I used to play with on Rocket Race a lot. And, such shenanigans. Much driving. Wow.
Yeah, race is a lot of fun. It kind of sucks that it doesn't have as much emphasis to be supported as a default. Like, right. I was really happy when race was supported in Halo Reach right off the start. That really made me happy, because race was in Halo 1 to begin with. And it wasn't in Halo 2, it wasn't in Halo 3. Halo 3, it was forged in there. Really, people had to really get creative with Forge, and the racetrack maps that ended up being made were phenomenal in Halo 3, because the Forge system in Halo 3 was so finicky that you had to really know how to Forge in order to make some of the maps that got made for Halo 3, which was absolutely ridiculous. Some of the patience that people had in Halo 3 to make certain things, I don't know if I had that patience.
I think what happened with Halo is similar to what's happening now with Apple, where basically they have such a huge fan base that the fan base is patient, willing to accept the learning curve for a sort of basic, you know, game, you know, building system, even though it's probably inferior to a lot of other game systems out there because they have such a huge market. The same can be said for Apple, that people will forgive Apple's flaws or their inability to do certain things because they have such, you know, goodwill built up.
Right. And, well... nope. I wouldn't say it to a certain extent, because there's a lot of flack right now that Halo 4 is getting just because of how Halo 4 is. So I'll say yes. In theory, that's how it would be for Halo right now. But there's a lot to that remains to be seen for Halo 5, and I think a lot of those good changes are going to be coming. I just hope that they do come. So moving on from the race and Rocket Race playlist, they announced their kind of initial set of matchmaking playlists that they're going to be doing for 2014. So the first, I think, 3 months that they have up there, 4 months maybe, actually 4 months they have up there. And they have a nice big graphic on the bulletin for this week. So, of course, December 9th came out, was Race. December 23rd is going to be Rocket Race, moving into January of the new year. And then on January 6th, we're going to get Big Team SWAT. That is going to be ridiculous.
Oh, whoa, shit.
Yeah, Big Team SWAT.
Oh, man.
You're going to have so many people dying everywhere.
It's going to be like the goddamn Civil War. It's going to be like, it's going to be, line up, Yanks! And then, like, all of a sudden, half the people drop. I mean, that's just, that's insane. Like, SWAT is by far my favorite game type, I think, right now. It's the only one that I'm still relatively decent at. Although, if I take a, like, I've taken a break for a while from Halo, and whenever I do that and I come back to SWAT, that is still my favorite, but it also has the steepest learning curve. Because I can kind of fake it in, like, free-for-all or whatever, depending on the map. But SWAT, it's like, you kind of get into a zone. And if you're not in that zone, then, well, you don't do very well.
I am not in that zone. I'll just tell you right
it's
now.
It's also, for me, very dependent on the map that you play on, too. Because yeah, Haven, exactly. Haven, I'm a god at SWAT. Because you have to know all the angles, and I know most of the angles on there, and I can usually find and take people out pretty quickly. Unless there's someone else that's equally as good, in which case I'm probably screwed. But in most of my cases, whenever I play SWAT, I'm usually really good on Haven and a couple of other maps. For you guys, is Skyline something that's a hit or miss? Are you guys really good at it or not so good at it? How does Skyline fit for you guys? Because that one for me, most of the time it's like a miss in terms of how well I do, but there are those few times, like maybe 10 or 15% of the time where I'm on fire.
Yeah, it's like when I've tried to play Skyline, it initially was kind of rough. And eventually, like you said, once you learn the angles and once you kind of know where people are going to pop up and where you should look, then it gets a lot easier. Like, I'm with you. Like, Haven is by far my best SWAT map. And most of the time, I'm just scoped in, not moving, just, you know, running around the edges and getting people. It's kind of interesting how different Haven is between the game types. But anyway, but with Skyline, it's sort of the same thing. And you've got to kind of be careful on where you're, you know, popping up and whatever. I know some of the elevators tend to get me killed a lot.
Yeah. There's just so many different angles and the levels are so close into each other in terms of verticality. It just throws me off personally.
Yeah. Besides Haven, the other, what's the one, the Outpost?
That's a big one.
It's not Outpost then. It's the little one where there's the forest on the side and the base in the middle.
What on the side?
A forest on the side and then a little base in the middle.
Oh, Abandon.
Abandon, that's the one. That one is also another really good swap map for me. But so...
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
But Big Team SWAT, that's just...
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I'm wondering what maps that's going to be on too.
I don't know, because it's like, that's just going to be absolutely insane. I mean, the thing is, it's like,
I had to guess, it would be, I don't know if you would do as big a maps as like Vortex or Meltdown, but I could see something possibly being a couple Forge maps, something like maybe Ragnarok or Exile. A few of those kind of medium large maps.
Yeah, Ragnarok would probably be a good one. Vortex, I don't know, man. That's probably a bit too big. I mean, that's too big with vehicles.
Vortex is a weird map.
I've never done well on Vortex. Every time we play Vortex, I just do badly. Like, I'll go from one game, exact same loadout, exact same team, do just fine in just about any other big map. You put me on Vortex, I die.
Snipes.
A lot.
Snipes, vehicles, lots of splatters.
It's like, oh, hey, I just got a Mantis. Yay, explode. I'm like, what the f***? And then, like, I'll grab a rocket launcher. I'll put, like, you know, millions of rockets into the enemy Mantis. And, you know, we're all shooting it with machine guns. And it, fire is just coming everywhere. And it's like, derp to derp, I'm just going to kill the enemy team. And then when I get in a goddamn Mantis, it's like this one plasma grenade and that's it. And I'm just like, oh.
Right.
Okay.
And there's so much just focused fighting on that center base for Vortex. And I would really like to see it kind of spread out. I think if it was more spread out, you'd be able to use a lot more game types on that map. Or maybe the objectives for different game types need to be just spread out in a more sensible fashion. But I feel that Vortex is one of those maps that has potential, but it's really not explored in ways where it really could be done really well.
Yeah, I just, it's not a good map for me. And if it was, I mean, the thing is, it's, if it were, I agree with you. If it were a little more spread out, and if maybe I did a little bit better on it, I would have a different opinion, but I just have a
mental. Well, if everyone did a little bit better on it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, your sucking is going to color your opinion on it, I would
listen
imagine.
Listen to you. I don't need to be analyzed. Harvest would be a good big team swap map.
Yeah, actually would be.
The Harvest wouldn't be bad. I know.
You have a lot of separation. Pins in the chat said the snow one, Longbow.
Longbow
would be a good map for big team SWAT.
Yeah. Good times on Longbow.
I would see a lot of DMRs in big team SWAT, though. Just because the map sizes, you would probably see a good mix of BRs and DMRs.
Yeah, I mean, on smaller maps like Haven, it really does come down to personal preference, although I personally prefer the BR versus the DMR. But yeah, on bigger maps, I think the DMR is going to be king.
BR just gets you that 3-shot insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But moving on. Next in January is going to be Team DLC. And I've actually heard a lot of people wanting to see DLC back in the rotation for Halo. And this is going to be the first time we actually see it back in matchmaking as a place where you have to have DLC. And where you only play DLC. So if you have some DLC achievements, I think this is going to be the time where you want to go back in and try to get those. I know for me, I have 2 Crimson achievements that I still don't have yet, which I need to get. And that's the Mantis' Stomp and the Detached Turret Kills on Shattered. So I still got to get those 2 achievements. Those are the only 2 achievements in Halo 4 that I don't have.
Well, that's good. If no people are hopping on, then you'll be able to get them.
Hopefully, yeah. Just it'll hope that Shattered comes up.
Yeah, it'll allow you, once that map type is up to, or once that map comes up, to be a little bit more focused. Be like, all right. Everyone go do this. It's like, no, I'm grabbing a turret. Screw you guys.
It's like, yeah, I got achievements to get. I'll see you guys later. I'll be up here on the side. I'll clean up some stuff for you. If you guys can just make some one shots and I'll take them.
God, we'll work for kills.
One of the most frustrating achievements in my entire Xbox career was the overkill back in Halo 3. Like, I remember I got so close to that so many times, and I'm still not good, but back then I was playing a lot of, like, ranked free-for-all and stuff like that, and I was really trying to get it, and I'm just like, one of these days. And it was on the one snow map, I don't remember, but it was the one where the shotgun was, like, underground, kind of. And so I went, I grabbed the shotgun. Actually, I have a replay of it somewhere.
Snowbound.
Snowbound, yeah. And I barely eked out the overkill. I think I was just on the end of, like, where it would count towards the overkill, and I actually, like, got up and yelled, yeah, and, like, my wife was, like, sitting not far from where I was. She's like, oh god, what happened? I'm like, I got this goddamn achievement. Oh my god, I'm so happy.
Those moments are always just kind of enlightening. It's one of those things where once you finally get it, you're just like, I just did that. I finally got the dang thing. I can jump up and rejoice and finally let it all out.
Oh god, it was I rarely have video game outbursts. Yeah.
And there aren't too many Halo achievements like that. Most of the Halo achievements are, if you take the time to get them, you can get them, except for Halo 3. Those achievements are, oh my gosh, those are annoying.
Yeah.
I still have four or five of those FFA achievements that I still need to go get.
Oh, and the worst thing with the Halo 3 achievements were, like, people only playing the multiplayer ones, people were only playing Halo 3 for about, I don't know, a year and a half afterwards, so they moved on to other games, right? So if you miss that window, like, it's pretty much closed at this point, or it has been for several years.
I am determined to go back and get those achievements.
Well, maybe if you get enough people drummed up and being like, well, you want to get these achievements too, we can help each other out kind of thing, you know? Well, you can get a Halo 3 renaissance coming.
The only thing is, you have to go in by yourself and then kind of coordinate with other people that are similar rank to you.
Right. That's, to go that in. Was the thing.
That's the tricky part.
Yeah. Since it was free-for-all, you could not go in as a team.
Right. And I actually organized a night, I think, 3 or 4 months ago, and we had a group of like 6 of us. 3 of them actually managed to get into a game. 2 of the other ones got into their own game, and I got into my own game. So the 3 of those guys that managed to get into a game actually worked together. Could we just... We stayed in the Xbox party chat, and then if we managed to get together, we would just kind of coordinate getting the achievements in whatever little corner of the map that we wanted to do. And the 3 people that actually ended up together, they actually got a couple of achievements, and I'm just like, nope, and tried a few more games, and I didn't get paired up with anybody. So one of these days.
One of these days, Alice. One of these days.
I will have 100% on all Halo games. I have 100% on ODST, Halo 2 Vista, Halo Reach. Not Halo Wars, although I don't know if that's possible anymore, because I think one of the achievements is the leaderboard achievement.
Ooh,
those are the worst.
Yeah, those are the worst.
That makes
sense. I have
sense,
a friend that I can probably reach out to and probably get the rest of the achievements, but that's going to take some time.
That's smart design, though, to build some of your achievements to make them time sensitive. That means people are playing the game more and, you know, to make sure they get it before time runs out.
But what if people come by later? Like, if they don't have the money at the time.
Later
they
is too
come back.
Late. You need to give us your money now. Otherwise, no achievement for you.
That's stupid.
It's brilliant, though, from a financial standpoint. They'll sell more games that way.
It's
not necessarily.
Evil, Jack.
It is evil,
I don't
but
know
it's
if
also
that's
brilliant.
Necessarily true.
You don't think so?
No, because, I mean, for someone like me who's an achievement junkie, I mean, I'll either buy the game to enjoy it, in which case, if I enjoy it, I'll probably go try to get all the achievements anyways. Or I'll buy a game to get achievements.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, I buy games I like. I'm not that concerned about
getting achievements. I 100%ed Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Right.
I got that last freaking achievement.
Oh, the Mile High Club?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even done that.
I spent, I think, 2 hours just solid trying to get it, and I got it.
They actually had on Versus a few weeks ago. They had a...
Yeah, so you could get the furthest in 10 minutes?
Yeah, that was... I watching that, it made me twitch a little because I remember the pain. Like, I remember how frustrating that 1 minute of game, you know. Like, it's supposed to only take you a minute, and you could never... Like, I only think I got, like, 15 seconds in. I don't think I ever did well, no matter how many... Like, I beat Modern Warfare 2 on Veteran. And so then I'm like, oh, well, I beat this on Veteran. I went back and tried to do it. Yeah, I can do it now. Nope. Still not happening.
Yeah, Veteran's one of those things where you have to really work at it to get up there. And if you stop, you're not going to be able to do it, like, after 2 or 3 months. You have to build it up again.
Yeah, Legendary's kind of the same way. I mean, there's, like... There's some tricks that you have to do, and you really have to keep grinding away to be able to get by some of the parts. I know in Halo 4 when I was when I did my legendary run, one of the levels right before you fight the Didact, there's one of the towers you were going up. I was stuck there for days, and there was just one little part that I just couldn't get by. There's too many goddamn nights, and then one time I made it past, and I was just like, oh, thank God. And then I was all set. Like, I had, like, you know, incineration cannon. I had all these weapons, and I'm like, yes, I'm ready to fight the Didact. You Didact, I'm coming for you. And then it was a cutscene, and I'm like, oh, I guess I didn't need my incineration cannon.
Aww.
But it's nice to know, had the gamers doing a different way for the design, you would have been prepared. Right?
I would have his ass up.
But another thing for just the date achievements. I mean, yeah, I kind of get the incentive to like go out and get the game when it first comes out, but when there's still a good portion of people going and getting games at, like after launch as well, like waiting until it drops down in price a little bit, it's almost like you're making the achievements just kind of exclusive to those people that are going to be getting the game like right off the spot. And I guess there's some reasoning to that from the developer side to kind of reward players that way, but I'm personally of the opinion where it's like time-based achievements like that are just really stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I guess from an enjoyment standpoint, that makes sense. But thinking fiscally, you know, if I'm developing a game and I want to make money, I want to make them time-sensitive and make sure I sell as many as possible. That's me, though.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
I have no soul.
It's like, I actually think that having heard the comments from a lot of people and a lot of our friends who also are big into achievements for whatever reason, none of them like the time-sensitive ones. Because not only are they like leaderboard achievements, they're leaderboard achievements. If some all they're doing is playing NBA 2K K13 or something, right? And so they've gotten really good at this game, and this is like the highlight of their life. But you're the one who has to get number one on that particular playlist, you're not going to get it. And then by the time that guy gets done playing, the playlist is gone. So it's like, you never have the opportunity to actually get it.
And yet people give these games their money until they vote for their dollars and say, hey, we're not going to sign for this, and they boycott the release. They're going to keep doing it.
But that's the thing. No one's going to boycott a release for shitty achievements.
Exactly. Right. So it's kind of a lose-lose.
Yeah.
It's something we'll have to make our peace with.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. Next in the matchmaking updates to come next year, we're going to have heavies in February, landing on February 3rd, and that's going to be heavy vehicles. So finally, a playlist that really emphasizes vehicles in Halo again, which is going to be so nice. I hate that vehicles are just like play toys in Halo 4.
Take that, World of Tanks!
That's funny.
We don't need to be in no shitty like German Panzer or whatever. I got a Scorpion. Yeah.
And see, that's I did thing. Not like, even think about that, to be honest.
Like I have a friend who plays World of Tanks, and he talks about World of Tanks almost about as much as I talk about League of Legends. Our conversations like about video games are very very strange, because it's like he'll make a point using World of Tanks, and then I'll make a point using League of Legends. But we'll never, since we're not going to play the other game, like, I've been trying to get him to play League, and he's been trying to get me to play World of Tanks, but it's not going to happen. And I will say that while it looks like an interesting game, I've been watching it, and I'm like, so it's a really, really slow first-person shooter, or third-person shooter, right? It's like you kind of plot along, and then...
Yeah.
Rotate your turret, and then that's it.
And you only have one life.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's like Counter-Strike was like that. And
Counter-Strike is a little bit more lively than World of Tanks from what I've seen.
But I was going to say that, yes, not only that, the rounds are a lot shorter. There was a reason why it worked in Counter-Strike. It's because once you got eliminated, you really weren't down for that long. And it's just like, you know, I watch World of Tanks, and I'm just like, I just can't get into this. At least in Halo, if you want to get in a tank, you may have to wait in the queue for the next tank respawn, but once you get into it, yeah, it's lots of fun. And then once you get destroyed, it's like, oh, well, okay, I'm just going to run around and shoot stuff now. It's just, I don't know. It seems like if you aren't very twitchy, then World of Tanks is probably great. But if you like the slightest bit of life in your shooter, pick another one. Like Team Fortress is probably better, too.
Yeah, I like Team Fortress.
Oh, Team Fortress is awesome.
Team Fortress is cool. I haven't played it in a while. You can get back into it. But yeah, Team Heavies is going to be coming out, which is going to be so much fun. Tanks, Wraiths, probably maybe Rocket Hogs, Goss Hogs, Banshees, and all that good stuff. I am really looking forward to Heavies. Because one of the things in Halo 4, and I think we've said this on plenty of different occasions in here and then a couple other places too, is just that how the vehicles in Halo 4 just don't seem to be that threatening because of having people spawn with a plasma pistol in their back pocket. It just...
Yeah, exactly. It's like, then it's like, okay, then, so you're flying at me with this Banshee. Great, you do that. Hold still for a second.
Yeah. So,
basically, Tonka toys.
You know, funny story, actually, and Jack, you were involved with this. I had the first fail of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So, Rooster Teeth does this series where it's fails of the week. And way back when Halo Reach came out, they had a community play date. And you were there, Jack, and a bunch of our friends. Hell, Jamie was there. Jamie was playing with us that night. So we were playing with a bunch of the Rooster Teeth guys and going off and doing stuff. And then later on, they're like, hey, we made this video of these people being morons. Hey, look at this moron. It's Roadblock 50. And I'm like, oh, that's me. Hey, that's me dive bombing Jack. Moron. Yeah, you were the one I was going for, and then I didn't pull up quite enough on my Banshee, and I crashed into the water.
That's what happens when you go after Jack.
Very first fail. Fail of the week.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, those are cool. Those are a lot of fun to watch. Although they're starting to get repetitive.
Yeah, I haven't watched them in a while, and I used to watch them because I was actually submitting stuff. Which was a lot easier for me personally in Halo Reach. I haven't submitted anything from Halo 4. I've actually, quite frankly, nothing that funny has happened to me in Halo 4. I mean, Halo Reach was great for the lulls because you had armor lock. Like, that was such a great source of comedy for Halo videos. It's like, la-da-dee-da. Oh, hey, I'm about to get pinched on all sides by ghosts. Armor lock. Yeah. Everything dies.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Actually, I have I've had a few fails in Halo 4 that are just simply ridiculous. So I've never really sent them into that because I'm sure they're backlogged with so many clips.
I think at this point, probably, yeah. I mean, like, I was...
I mean, it'd be nice if they actually went through and kind of filtered out a lot of the ones that they've seen over and over again to find, like... There's only so much you can do with Halo, but there are different twists to certain things that can be done. And every now and then you see an episode, it's like, oh, I really haven't seen that done that way before. So it's nice to see, like, in the one or two episodes, like every like month or 2 months, where they actually have a different kind of fail or one that's done in a different way that makes like, oh, that's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't watched them in a little while. And I might start again. I know I actually bought the Fails of the Week DVD that they put out. And that was kind of funny with the commentary. And quite frankly, I was being a little vain, and I was like, did one of mine make it in there? Did one of mine? Oh, okay, one of mine make it in there. All right, cool. and again, it was an armor lock fail. Like, that was actually – armor lock was great. I remember once I was playing on Spire, I think it was. And I was around the base of the tower, and I was fighting a ghost. And so we were exchanging fire. He finally sped up, and I armor locked and killed him. So I'm like, yay, all right, I got him. And as I was armor locked, I noticed I got a double kill. And I'm like, huh, I guess there was maybe someone behind him. I'm not sure. So I went back in the theater. The way I was facing the ghost. And so when I armor locked, and while I was fighting, I didn't notice the fuel rod cannon that had exploded right next to me because I was focused on this ghost. Uh-huh. So I hadn't noticed that. So I armor lock, the ghost hits me, and then the Banshee that was shooting at me with its fuel rod cannon also hits me. And I did not notice. I'm like, where the fuck did this double kill come from? I have absolutely no idea. And it wasn't until I look back, I'm like, oh, holy shit, I totally killed a Banshee with armor lock. Yes.
the random moments that just happen because you are focused on one thing and then it's like, oh, well, that was a pleasant surprise.
Hooray.
Yeah. Ricochets like that for sniper rounds also are pretty cool. They're like really rare, but I've had a couple friends that have said, I got this awesome snipe, and it would turn into a double kill, and I was only aiming at one person. So there are definitely lots of those opportunities. They're kind of rare, but they're really funny and just like, oh, I got this. Yay. So, but yeah, Heavies is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that one. Big vehicles and everything. Next up, though, in February, it's going to be Big Rumble on the 17th. And that sounds like it's going to be 16 people free-for-all Rumble.
Mother of God.
That's going to be insane. You thought Big Team SWAT was going to be insane. This is going to be crazy.
At least in Big Team SWAT, you're only fighting half the people.
Exactly. This, you're fighting everybody. You're fighting the world.
It's like I'm standing on goodness. A hill and be like, come at me, and then you would die.
It's going to be to the point where you're going and trying to find power weapons right by where you spawn. And if you just happen to be by one, you go pick it up and start shooting it as quickly as you can. Or if you spawn with one, shoot the heck out of it at your nearest enemies. If not, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah. And you definitely don't want to leave any ammo for any other
for the most part, yeah.
Like me. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Yes, I noticed.
Didn't see you there, rocket face.
Didn't see you there, rocket horror.
I like my rockets.
It's a legitimate strategy. Gun.
Wait, that's, yeah.
Old school. Kicking it actually, back to like 2005.
Actually, they re-released that shirt because in the new Gauntlet, they actually had like one of the celebrities. They had this like free-for-all it was essentially a wild card into the finals for all the eliminated players. So it was like Unreal Tournament, like 2011 or something like that. And one guy actually did camp out because you could only die a certain number of times before you were eliminated. That's and smart. He hid out and won because he just had more lives than the last person who was left. Like the last person who had like been legitimately fighting had like two lives left, and this guy had like all five of his. And he's like, yeah, I'm just going to kill you. And then he won. And he's like, it's a legitimate strategy. Actually, they have him. Yeah, they have him on the shirt, like re-release, like little banner ad. And he's like, it's a legitimate strategy. And I'm like, oh, motherfucker, it is. Oh, God.
If the object of the game is die the least, then don't be where people can kill you. It's pretty logical.
It's pretty much. Really, like, you... Jack, you love wrestling, so you love heels.
Yes,
I do. He totally played up the heel aspect of it, just being a total dick about it. It was awesome.
I'm from another country. My customs are different than yours, and so are my clothing.
Ooh. Okay. going away from that there. Coming in March 3rd, is going to be Metal Madness. And what 343 described this on their stream on Monday is you're going to have a certain medal that you have to earn before you can go to the next medal. So it's kind of like gun game, except for medals, from what I understand.
Huh.
Yeah. It's weird. So there is a modded game type in Halo that is essentially... It's not gun game, but it's every like 20 seconds or so, everyone's weapon changes to a different weapon. I forget what that game type is actually called in Call of Duty. But it's essentially that. So it's kind of a spinoff of that in terms of like Halo mods for Halo 4. But the fact that they're kind of really branching out into different wonky things that you can do with the game types is kind of interesting.
I mean, you've got to do something to keep the audience interested, especially the people who've been playing since day one, right? Like, there's so much stuff to get distracted with, and there are lots and lots of games that can kind of draw you in. Like, actually, I mentioned in a tweet earlier that today was going to be a Civ 5 free evening. Yeah, it wasn't. I've relapsed. I'm totally back. I fell off the Civ 5 recovery wagon. And now I'm playing Civ 5 again. And I know. And there's the thing is, that's not even the most addictive game I play. I mean, I play League. I play Minecraft. And it's like any one of those games can draw you in and just that's all your time. And so the fact that you have to do something kind of wacky and random with especially with that playlist, the way it sounds, I mean, that's what you have to do. to keep people interested.
Hmm. All right. So next one is Extraction, and that'll be dropping on March 17th. So that one's pretty self-explanatory for the most part. We'll probably see some Forged maps in there introduced into the rotation too. So after that is going to be on March 31st, Squad DLC. So more DLC coming your way. We have actually had that one before as well. So that's going to be another kind of returning. And then this one's going to be interesting. On April 14th, Ninja Assassins.
Huh.
That just sounds cool.
You have my undivided attention.
And then ninja after assassins. The ninja gets done with you, you'll be divided because you're cut in two.
Well played, you'll be two pieces.
I imagine everyone's going to be invisible with swords. Maybe. I wonder if there'll be like a mechanic like in Assassin's Creed, where maybe you have a mark, and you can track that one person, but you can't really track anyone else.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I don't know.
I mean, I honestly don't know how they're going to do this. I mean, they didn't talk about it too much. They just name dropped it. So I don't know if it's going to be teams or if it's going to be FFA, because I don't think you can do invis for everybody, because you'll have, I mean, it'll be hard to find everyone and get the assassination to begin with. So I don't know if it's going to be like one team starts off like trying to not get assassinated and the other team is trying to assassinate while camouflaged or what.
Right. I'm trying to, there's a mod where people are invisible and assassiny, I thought there was a game type like that, or where at least you could be someone that was cloaked all the time and just had a sword.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I forget what it's called, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I know in what was it, Sniper Party, where you have to kind of kill the right person. There could be a mechanic like that, where if you go and you do assassinate the wrong person, then you get some sort of penalty.
Kind of like VIP thing?
Yeah, And like I said, that one blip on the radar is the only person that you can quote unquote see. But I don't know how specifically they would do that. It'd be interesting to find out though. That does sound fun.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the ones that's kind of like the more intriguing of the lot. I mean, big Rumble and Big Team Swag just sound ridiculous. Metal Madness is like, eh? And then Ninja Assassin's like, ooh.
That's exactly what they're like. That was well described.
Thank you. I try. So check out the big calendar that they have on the bulletin. They have the dates and everything. So everything up and through April of next year has been determined for what they're going to be doing for playlists. So check them out. DLC is coming down the line, of course. So check it out. Weird random thing that I haven't even heard about, but that's in the bulletin. Is there is this thing that's called the Red Bull 5G, I guess, championship finals, something like that. It's in Japan, and the first-person shooter game of choice for this thing is actually Halo 4. So they have teams from East and West Japan that will be competing in this 5G finals, and it's going to be on Simplex CTF, and it's going to be streamed on Red Bull's Twitch channel on December 15th or December 14th, 10 p.m. Pacific time. So it'll be in the wee mornings or late nights, depending on where you are in the U.S. or depending on where you are in the world. So if you want to see some Japanese play some Halo 4, then I guess check out the stream.
Is that a big scene for Halo 4?
I don't think... I mean, I know the first-person genre is kind of making a rise over there, but I didn't know Halo 4 was going to be something where coming down to a first-person title to choose from would be one that would be preferred.
I mean, the thing is, it's like I could see them going with like a Call of Duty, because that's a popular e-sporty type shooter.
That or Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike would seem to be the big go-to game for right. At least that kind of culture, because that's a lot of PC gamers over there, and I guess kind of, well, another thing too is PlayStation's a lot more popular over there too than Xbox.
Right.
So it's really, and of all things for Xbox, you choose the Xbox exclusive title Halo, So it's almost like they're really just dialing in on the niche as far as they can go for a first-person shooter. It's weird. I'm proud of it for being a Halo fan, but it's really weird.
I mean, I know are Xboxes making inroads there? I thought that the PS3 and the PS4 were going to be the big boys over there. But, I mean, it could be a move that would generate interest in the Xbox in that region in order to kind of prep for, okay, you guys like Halo 4? Well, Halo 5 is coming out for the Xbox One and only for the Xbox One. And sort of laying the groundwork for a bigger campaign to promote the Xbox in that area.
I mean, there have been the launch of titles that have come out over the Xbox 360 that have kind of promoted more selling in Japan. I think games like Bayonetta and Killer Instinct, and those kind of games kind of appeal to that market a little bit more than the first-person genre and the kind of the quote-unquote Western culture games.
Right.
So there has been somewhat of a push in that direction for some game developers and for Microsoft kind of reaching out. I mean, Final Fantasy 14 is coming to the Xbox, right?
Yeah,
or it is on the Xbox.
There are Metal Gear games on the Xbox.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5, I think, is exclusive Xbox, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, they're making efforts to kind of reach out into that market over there. But of all things to have a first-person shooter game for a finals to be Halo in that region of the world is just really peculiar.
But you know what? I think it makes sense because it adds the challenge to it precisely because they're not as familiar with the game.
And so you're thinking that...
Okay.
Maybe. More than as something like, oh, this is a foreign game. Like, you know, in America bringing in something like... I don't know. Where
like a fighting game or something like that.
Yeah, like BlazBlue or something like that.
Sure, sure.
BlazBlue is a lot of fun, by the way.
Never played it.
I'll take your word for it, though. It's kind of insane. Like, it's a pretty good fighting game system. The character designs, though, are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they're just... It's a beautiful game. Anyway, awesome game. I think it's out for the... there are a couple of BlazBlue titles out for the PS3.
Okay.
And probably for the PS4, I would imagine.
Interesting. But yeah, so there's that going on this weekend. So if you want to hop on and see that, definitely go check it out. Details in the bulletin, of course. they have another community map spotlight. They do these every now and then. I think it's kind of been going once a month. And this one, Bravo actually just found on Reddit, and it's called Advantage. And it kind of reminds me a lot of Lockout and The Cage and Ascension and kind of those sort of maps. It's really interesting. I like the design of it, and it seems like it would kind of foster some really interesting Slayer and Objective gameplay. It's really interesting. Have you guys seen this yet on the bulletin?
I haven't. Let me go and bring that up here.
I can link it in the chat real quick for you guys. But it's really interesting. It does kind of foster some memories of different maps of this style from past Halo games, and I don't know how it would play, but I'm definitely interested in going and downloading this map and checking it out for one of our custom nights and see how it really works.
Yeah, I just need to get back into it. Like, I haven't played Halo 4 in a while, and actually before the Twitter blow up that happened, I'm like, you know what? Man, I need me some Halo 2 or some Halo 4, maybe some Halo 2 as well, but mostly Halo 4. And I just really got the itch the last couple of days to sit down and play it, you know, and despite the other games that I need to play. Like, I've got an unopened PS3 that I borrowed from a friend just so I can play like Journey and Heavy Rain and eventually Last of Us. I'm definitely not getting to Last of Us, and I'm probably not going to get to Heavy Rain. I'll be lucky to plug it in at all and maybe get through Journey. And that's it. Because, like, like I said before, there's so many other things kind of competing for my gaming attention in addition to the other stuff going on. Like,
exactly. And I have the same thing, too, because I have a backlog of games that I need to finish. I haven't even finished Fallout 3. That's how far behind I am.
I'd say you have a little bit of ways to go.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. But yeah, it looks like a really interesting map, and I would love to get on and play it sometimes. I mean, if the map is as good as it looks, I wouldn't see it being out of the possibility of coming into a Forge playlist whenever they bring those back. But I like it. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it does. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, Ascension, Lockout, Cage, a lot of those different kind of maps.
The Cage the Cage especially.
Yeah.
The
Cage was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. It's even situated in almost the same place.
I know, like, it kind of is, on a cliff wall.
It looks like Forge World again in almost exactly the same place, and it's a very similar kind of map.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Man, the Cage was feast or famine for me. I tell you, like, there were games where I was an absolute god. Especially in like, SWAT and stuff. And then there were games where it was like, oh, I'll get a kill. Like, there would be daily challenges, and I'd be like, yes, yep. I can totally get this on the Cage. And then I'd be like one short or two short. It's like, oh, you need one more melee? Nope. It's like, oh, god damn it.
Yeah. So this map is called Advantage. It's made by a person called Spirit of Apollo. So if you search for either of those on the file browser, then you should be able to find this and download it. And there's an interview, of course, from Bravo for Spirit of Apollo on there as well. It's pretty lengthy, so if you want to go check it out, definitely go read it. And there's a link to it as well. Really supports 4v4 SWAT very well. And Slayer type games. So at the bottom of the bulletin, of course, we go through the screenshots every weekend. This week's theme is, of all things, yellow. And I'm not going to start singing the Coldplay song for it either.
Anyway, oh, yellow.
So in terms of like picking a favorite one, there's a couple that stick out to me. I mean, just having straight yellow, it's for me personally, but if I had to, pick some favorites out of it, for me personally, it would be between Mythic by TRX117 and then Golden Opportunities by Stealth Haste.
Yeah, the Mythic.
Maybe Aurate by Sniper Oxide, but between those three.
I kind of like the Absolve one by Vindictivicus. I think that's how you pronounce that. That's how I choose to pronounce it.
Vindictivicus? Absolve, I like. Yeah, I think that's right. That was all right. That was pretty good. What about you, Jack? Anyone's kind of sticking at you?
Yeah, not really. You know, you talk about being so far behind in gaming with Fallout 3, man. There was a little release called I don't even remember. Like, honestly, with console games, it's hard for me to get to because, like, you know, mobile gaming is competing for so much of my attention. You know, if I want to play a game, I can either, you know, boot my Xbox up, wait up, come all the way home, or just pull my iPad or my iPhone out of my pocket and play a game right then and there.
Yeah.
I've been playing a few games on my phone, and I never got into Candy Crush or any of those others. But I did play Nimble Quest a bit, and I don't know. The problem with a lot of games on my mobile is that they're just missing something. Like
they're simple, they're basic. You know, they scratch a certain kind of itch.
And I guess I just haven't had that itch in a while. Like, when I finally got done, and I didn't even get close to finishing NimbleQuest, I was just kind of like, you know what? I think I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. And then I picked up Minecraft instead. Like, I went from, like, games like NimbleQuest to Minecraft, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus. This was a bad idea.
I'm on my whole zombie kick. It's like all plant. For me, it's all about Plants vs. Zombies 2 right now. It's just fun, a little stupid tower defense game. You have these plants, you launch stuff at zombies. It's funny enough.
Please tell us about Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, no problem. I'm sure no one's ever heard of it. You know, they're this little indie game that needs my support.
It's a pretty
little
fun
company
game.
Called Electronic Arts, you know, that I don't know if anyone's ever heard of.
But yeah, I don't think they're that small. just saying.
No, I know.
Just saying.
I was being facetious.
Ah, big words.
Jack, were you being a little glib?
Had to sneak that in there, didn't you?
Glib shot. On Tuesday nights.
I don't know if I stuck that in. I think I kicked down the door and threw it.
Every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern at glibshot.com.
That was less a plug and more of a flashback.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Also, we have a new result for the second week of the Top Slayer Top 200, Team Slayer Top 200. And our first person that was only the only 50 from last week is that actually number two. Someone actually passed him up. ME68X is ranking the first spot right now, and we actually have up to 8 people in the CSR 50s. And by the looks of the little bar there, the blind duck, who was actually number one last week, is not too far behind ME6AX. So looks like we'll have both of those up there at the top for a while. Looking at the rest of them, we have 40s all the way down to pretty far down the list to 59. And then I think the rest of them are in the 30s range, 35 or above. So we're starting to see that kind of higher ranks really starting to peer up in here. So a couple people to look out for right now, I guess, would be the Blind Duck, who was number one last week and is number two now. ME6AX, and we have a few others up in the 50s range. Technicolor, DN Prodigy, A Real Struggle, Throttle, Just So Tiny, and Texicanos.
Go, Blind Duck, go!
Go, Blind Duck, go!
I don't know why. I think it's because it's an aquatic animal that has an adjective before its name. As a Gloom Shark, I feel like there's a certain affinity with the Blind Duck.
Okay. I see what you mean. I can appreciate that.
Roadblock, agree or counterpoint?
Counterpoint.
Oh.
Texanamos?
No,
was that
the
one?
Blind Duck.
No. You mentioned... I don't know where we're getting this from.
I'm lost now.
Okay. There was other one. It sounded like almost like Texamigos.
Texicanos, yeah.
Texicanos. Yeah. Fuck that Blind Duck guy. Texicanos is where it's at.
Yeah. Roadblock, you will fall in line now. We are a Blind Duck podcast.
We're a Blind Duck house.
Yes, we must defend this Blind Duck house.
A duck
protect
shop.
Our watery friend.
A shark divided cannot stand.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Again, the loyalty could be divided if a ninja came along and divided the shark in half. Ooh. Just saying.
Oh man, dang. All right. Last thing that we have to touch on from Waypoint News this week is they announced the release date of the Halo Spartan Assault release for Xbox One. So that's actually going to be coming out on December 24th, the day right before Christmas, and you can be able to get it on Xbox One. It's going to come out on the 360 a little later. In January of next year, probably some compatibility code that they have to go from Windows 8 architecture to Windows. I forget what I think it's like Windows 2000 architecture, which is actually what the Xbox's 360 OS is based off.
Right.
So they have that that you will be looking to play. So if you have an Xbox One, you can go download it here within a couple of weeks. And if you want to play it on the 360, you'll be able to do so sometime in January.
Boo.
Have you either of you played Halo Spartan Assault?
I played a little bit of it at a demo. I think actually at the Microsoft Store deal that they had at PAX Prime. I think I played a little bit of Spartan Assault. Anyway, it was fine. Yeah, it was, you know, you got your top down shooter on. The controls were a little strange for me. Me personally, just kind of manipulating the.
Did you play with the controller? Or did you actually play on the tablet?
I actually played on the tablet, and I think that's where I screwed up. If I had a controller, I probably would have had a better time of it. No, I remember where it was. It was at the 343 area over at Ben Arroyo.
Yeah, that's where they had it. And that's actually where they demoed the controller functionality too.
No, that's cool.
And I actually played it on the PC on a Windows 8 box that I have here. And I, after playing it on the tablet and with the controller at PAX, I actually prefer the keyboard and mouse because with the mouse, you just get that precision on shooting.
Right. Yeah.
I get the twin stick thing because it's more of a kind of like classical game style, but just with the mouse and keyboard. I mean, the only like technically non-precision that you have is the movement with the keys, but everything else, it just flows a lot better for me with keyboard and mouse.
Which is kind of strange coming from someone who's so big into Xbox.
Well, I was originally a PC gamer.
Squint.
I started playing Halo on the PC. I started playing Halo PC, and then I actually moved to Halo 2 Vista. That's how I got my Halo start. And I, well, that's how I personally got my Halo start when I owned Halo. I definitely played Halo at friends' places, but my parents didn't allow us to get consoles as a kid, so it was always going over and playing with friends. And so I knew what Halo was, but I never actually like owned Halo until I had Halo for the PC, and that's where I got my start.
Yeah, I did kind of the same thing where I didn't have own an Xbox, but I had lots of friends who did. And when we played Halo, I picked up the pistol mechanics pretty quickly, and it pissed a lot of people off.
Three-shot overpowered pistol.
Oh, God, it was awesome.
The God pistol.
So, like, I'm with you. Like, because I didn't have access to very many consoles, I think I got a Super Nintendo when I was a kid, and then the next console I got was an Xbox 360. And maybe even, like, it was a 360. And before, you know, in the in-between, it had always been going over and playing my buddy's PlayStation or PlayStation 2 or Dreamcast or Xbox. So,
right.
But one thing I did have was a PC. So I'm definitely with you there. I know that there's kind of a weird transition sometimes. I'm kind of glad that the only PC shooter that I play a lot of is Team Fortress, because you can afford a few more mistakes in Team Fortress than you could in, say, like Battlefield or Call of Duty or something.
Well, and it has a lot more feeling of a fun environment that you can really get into, and it's not super serious.
Right, and you don't always have to shoot stuff.
Right, right. So, yeah, Team Fortress is a good kind of entry level into first person shooters, I think, for everybody, because it has that kind of balance of skill and fun factor.
Right. I mean, if you're going to be playing a soldier, you definitely need to have some twitch. Sniper, same way. But if you're not that twitchy, you can play an engineer and you'll be
or
just
heavy.
Fine. Or a heavy.
Yeah.
Or a medic.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep. I'm right there with you. So, but that kind of wraps up the Halo news for the week. Not much other stuff going on. I mean, the holiday season is going to be coming around pretty quick. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some holiday-specific playlists coming out. We may see a Christmas one. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't put it past 3 for 3 with all the different holiday ones they've been doing recently, like with Thanksgiving and Halloween and all that stuff. So I bet we'll see something coming down the line probably with Christmas and New Year's. But I want to give a thanks to Roadblock and Jack for being on the show. I really appreciate you guys coming out. I figured it was about time to kind of get you on since I had this opportunity. And Roadblock, I really appreciate, again, you coming out on the panel and really doing a good job. It was good. I liked it. It was fun.
Well, thank you. And if you need any help again, let me know.
Oh,
hey,
definitely will.
What are you doing in 2 weeks on Tuesday?
That would be during Christmas break, right?
Hell yes, that's during Christmas break. What are you doing?
I'll just be at home, but I can definitely come on the show.
Resolved.
Yay.
Done. And thanks so much for having us on. We had a blast.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You guys want to plug your stuff real quick before we wrap it up?
Jack, go ahead, since I suck at plugging.
You can listen to Glib Shark at www.glibshark.com every Tuesday night live at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Look up Glib, G-L-I-B, Shark, S-H-A-R-K, and you will find us. Jenga's promise.
And you can always follow us on Twitter at Glib Shark. We tweet from there. We retweet a lot from our personal accounts at Jack Edithel and myself at road_block. And we'd be happy to talk to you and try and entertain you, maybe, as long as we don't f*** up, which happens.
You guys do your show live as well, right?
Yes. We kick off at, like Jack said, 9 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights. It's very rare that we don't have something going on then. Like you said in the podcasting panel, scheduling is important, so we try and do this every week at the
we
same time.
We book guests, or we have a topic we talk about. You know, one or the other. Sometimes one of the attractions is having me and Roblox argue about something that is, you know, incredibly unimportant in the grand scheme of things, but immensely entertaining.
What was it last time? What was it that really got us going? Like, there was something that was really contentious.
I think it might have been your complaining about the way that Rooster Teeth was treating Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was the whole Doctor Who thing. Okay.
Yeah. Makes before sense. That, maybe television is terrible and you're
have
terrible
I listened
for
to
like
that one yet? I don't know if I've listened to that one yet.
That I'm behind like, podcast, actually. That,
I'm behind that, like three that, episodes, I think.
Yeah, that one may not have gotten released. That was a couple
weeks.
Okay, so quick story. So I took my stuff down to a board gaming convention with the intention of recording a show. And so I packed up my good mic, a couple of mic stands, and a bunch of equipment, took it down, and was going to record on like late Saturday night after kind of the award ceremony, after people had kind of calmed down a little bit, you know, catch some people and get their thoughts on the gaming convention. Then we were going to air that footage or the footage, the audio that I recorded. Unfortunately, Dallas experienced an ice storm.
Ooh.
That was going to start rolling through Sunday night, but it was going to hit my area of Oklahoma City earlier on Sunday. So instead of staying up all night and sleeping in late on Sunday and then leaving, we had to go to bed early on Saturday and get up really early on Sunday morning to try and beat the storm to where we were going.
You live in Oklahoma City?
Yes.
I need to talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, actually, Jeff Yenzer lives in UConn, and I never see that guy except at PAX and stuff. But anyway, so the intention was to record something, and I didn't get to. So I brought all my stuff up, set it back up, and we did that show a couple of weeks ago. And then, like, for the Buttcast, I went on a rant about Doctor Who. Well, I was listening to the audio later, and I'm like, wow, I sound really bad. I sound really echoey. I wonder why. Oh, my God, I had my mic backwards.
Oh,
that's
no.
Right. Oh, yeah, so that's right. We had this conversation.
I came back, and I took off the windscreen that's on here, and sure enough, it was turned around. And it was just because I had packed it up and then put it back in a hurry. And that was really disappointing because I had a lot to say about Doctor Who and the board gaming convention, and I had to. It's sort of listenable, but
yeah, it's hard when you have to cut. I've had a couple of those. I had to cut.
Yeah. So you won't hear that Doctor Who rant, unfortunately.
Okay. But you will hear Roadblock ranting about how television is terrible and you're terrible for liking it. I mean, that's spread off a few episodes.
Okay, so
I hardly watch it.
So what I said was...
I think we need to wrap this up.
I'm pretty sure I quoted you verbatim there, Roadblock.
All right, well, we will settle this later. I have been misquoted. I've been slandered.
Verbatim, I say.
Do you want to retort here real quick in 30 seconds or less?
Real quick. Okay, 30 seconds or less. What I said was that good TV has ruined TV. TV like Breaking Bad has ruined stuff that normally would be enjoyable. Like Chuck. I've been trying to watch Chuck, and I'm like, man, they always find a way to bring back the status quo. Unlike shows like Breaking Bad or Orange is the New Black, where it's like, hey, you're in some new fucked up situation. Deal with it. And
I'm pretty sure Chuck is over now, guy.
I know it is, but it's
like, doesn't sound like you do.
it's an example. Well, we've been watching it. It's an example of a show that could have been, I think in a lot of other cases, really good. But then when you put it up against shows that are truly transcendent, like Breaking Bad or The Wire, it really doesn't hold up as well.
Okay. 30 seconds up. Woo. All right. So wrapping things up. Thank you guys, everyone, for tuning in to Podtacular. We appreciate you guys coming out and listening to us every week. Remember, you can find us on our website, podtacular.com. And while you're there, shoot us an email. We have a Big Green Submit button, or you can email us directly to submissions@podtacular.com. And anything that you have that's Halo-related, any questions you have on anything that we've discussed, anything in the realm of Halo that gets announced or anything, feel free to shoot us questions. We'll answer them on the show or read anything that you have that may be stories about Halo. Anything that you want to announce or anything, definitely shoot it to us and we'll take a look at it and read it out on the show for you guys. We have we have our customs night on Wednesdays, and that starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, and we run some customs for about 2 hours. They're really fun. We get a good party going in there, so if you're looking for an excuse or a reason to play some Halo, definitely check us out on the Wednesday nights. We'd love to have you there. You can also check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all the nice social media, gizmos, and all the nice little places that you can do that. And, of course, you can listen to us live for the podcast on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well on Twitch TV. So, with that said, thank you, Roadblock and Jack, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it for the last-minute call-out and for you guys coming on the show. And I look forward to, I guess, coming on your show in a couple of weeks.
Yay!
Hooray!
That'll be good. So, to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time. Keep on glibbing trucks.
And that's the end of our show.